Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I am John Mark's wife, Pastor John Mark. And I actually realize this is a huge privilege to be like the first person speaking on the Sunday morning that we're here. So I don't take that lightly for many reasons, but that one as well. I work as a missionary with Youth Unlimited, Youth for Christ, you might know it, overseeing our young parents program. So that's supporting pregnant and parenting youth ages 15 to 25. And I am passionate about seeing other people come to faith, discover faith, grow in their faith, and operate in their spiritual gifts. It's a large part of what I do with my staff, volunteers, and the young parents. This is why I think the topic of soul care is so important, that we are talking about that. So I'm happy to share a little bit about that. This is a very big topic, actually. So it was originally created for a little workshop, and it's a bit of, in that format today. But I'm thrilled that maybe more people than would have on Tuesday, I don't know, are going to access this. So let me start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak on your behalf. I pray that you would use me, you would use my limitations to speak of your limitless love, that each person in this room and listening to us on screen would hear something that would change them, that would move us forward in our journey with you, that would help us love you more and love each other more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So our souls, it's such a nebulous word, our souls, and yet it's so internal. It's the deepest part of ourselves. It's the animating force, our truest self. Someone defined it as a divine spark before we layered it with all kinds of things like our personality and truly the cares of this world. I think it gets buried beneath all of that. It can be forgotten by our own neglect. It can be worn down. It can be confused by the many voices, and certainly our striving can overburden us, and our soul can get lost in that, even though it's the center of who we are. And this is why Jesus asks, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit or lose their soul? When Jesus says this, it's in the context of teaching a crowd about the way of the cross, that whoever saves their life, their own life, will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me in the gospel will save it. And I mention this context because it is the undergirding of any kind of soul care, anything we talk about soul care, is the trajectory of the Christian life, that we are giving up our striving, that we are laying down our human concerns, that we are dying to ourselves, and we are surrendering to God's will, and accepting his love and his design for our life. So this is, if I say anything about soul care, I hope you walk away with that, because that should be the point about soul care, that we are actually surrendering to him and what he wants of us. So soul care means, well, the idea is both ancient and modern, and maybe you've heard a little bit more about it, because it has been intertwined with self-care, and not that it's trending, but it's trending. primarily, it's been the function of clergy and the ministry of the church that was likely historically focused on saving souls. So soul care was saving the soul. And today, we're a little more participatory in that ourselves. And it's about, as Donna said, connecting to God and living in the overflow of a full and abundant life now and forever. The term soul care has given me language to know what that I need to make space in my life to connect with God, to receive and operate in his love. So a very little bit about my story to give you some context to why this is important to me. When I was a young adult, I had an encounter with Jesus that was tangible. I won't go into the whole story. Maybe someday I will share it with you. But let me just say that I was in a deep, pretty desperate place in life of my own choices. It was a consequence of my own choices, and I did not know where to turn. I actually remember being so terribly desperate to the point of wanting to end my life. And in a moment, driving along the highway, I I was asking, like, who can help me? Who can save me? And then it occurred to me, Jesus can save me. Jesus can save me. And immediately I had a sense of his love and his forgiveness washing over me like warm water. I can't speak of it without crying. Flowing over me and through me. I can't say how long it lasted, but it had a forever impact. As you can tell, that was, I'm now middle-aged, and it still impacts me to this day, and it has changed, it changed everything for me. And I mention that because the issue was that I was raised to believe that these types of experiences were not valid. They didn't hold weight, and they couldn't be trusted. But then I had this moment with Jesus where the distance between heaven and earth was about as close as it can get. And it has been this constant marker in my life. And I return to it again and again just out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for me. I did not bring Kleenex, and that was a bad move. If anybody has any, I would appreciate it. What was happening in me, thank you so much. I know to bring these up when I speak. What was happening in me was surrender, and it was needing a savior. No longer wanting to live life on my terms and experience the blessing that felt like a curse of this empty desperation. I opened myself up to God's love and forgiveness, and I was changed forever. And I began to live out of the love that he gave to me. So I'm an expressive personality. I have an emotional center, if you couldn't tell. And I want to say this was suppressed maybe by the culture, my family or culture that I lived in service to the intellect and studying and having answers. And I don't want to say it was all bad. That gave me many gifts. And in fact, I think that was the moment when I remembered some of what I learned as a child, that Jesus can save me, came from that. So I don't want to disparage it, but discovering that there was a different way to experience God was significant and very freeing for me. And so I've become passionate about helping others discover, well, what's the way that you can connect to God in your true personality, your deepest part of yourself? And the Lord knows. He knew me. He knew what I needed and how to connect to me. And he continues to do that. And I continue to go to scripture and experience him in a different way there. There, just as there are different parts of the body, there are different ways to love, to receive God's love, to know his love, to live in it, to give it to others. So that's where my passion is, to help others tune into God's voice, receive his love, know his forgiveness, walk in his purposes, and all of that falls under the concept of soul care. So understanding the function of the soul will help us know how to care for it. So I'm going to put some verses up on the screen. I'm really sorry. I really should have thought there's some people who are sensates or people who like to see color, and I could have used this as a way to experience God, but I ran out of time. It was a very difficult week this week, so you're getting what you're getting this morning, and I hope you can turn it into what you need this morning. Let the Lord work through that. So I just want to look at a few verses to actually understand what a soul is when it's fully alive. And I actually recommend, if you ever wanted to do a word search in scripture, this is very informative. Just look up soul. You can type it in Bible Gateway. Or if you have a really good thesaurus, this is one way to do it. So I just have a small sampling here to share with you. First verse is from Psalm 62:5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. This is a soul at peace. It's a steady soul because it trusts in the Lord. It's not swayed by outside forces or circumstances. So I want to ask, what has this soul given up? What has it surrendered to find this kind of peace? Perhaps a desire to control circumstances or a need to be right. Next verse is Psalm 57:8. Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. The rest of that isn't up there, but I'll read it. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. This is a soul fully alive, not numbed out, not distanced, but participating in life with joy, not even waiting for the dawn, not even waiting for the sunset, Donna, but waking up the dawn, participating in great praise, leading others to do the same. What does this soul give up to find such zeal and passion? What has been surrendered here? Well, when we think about a soul that is asleep, it may be that we're avoiding hard things, vulnerabilities and pain we don't want to address. Joy, and this is another study in itself, is a product of not avoiding pain, but of addressing it. Next one is Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is the soul giving glory to God and living in gratitude to him. Have you met a grateful soul before? Have you met its opposite? A grateful soul is one who has given up entitlement in their own way and sees the world with eyes of beauty and grace, able to accept everything as a gift from God. But let's consider the soul in distress. Next one is Psalm 119, 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. And I want to ask whether this soul is any less alive than one described in the previous verses. This is an honest soul, speaking the burdens of grief and sorrow. This soul has given up burying its head in the sand and seeing things for what they are. This soul also knows where to go to get its strength. They know that strength isn't found in and of themselves. And one more, Isaiah 38, 15. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. This soul carries a spiritual sobriety, a call to humility that is a sign and character of the people of God. And it may come from what we have seen and what we've experienced and what we've known. Humility is a gift to each of us. It is the fruit of giving up our claim to this life and receiving Jesus. So, from these examples, you see that the soul is all of these things, a joyful soul, a restful soul, a grateful soul, a soul that feels deeply, compassionately, walks humbly, and is at peace with the Lord. So now that we've heard about the soul fully alive, how do we get there? So here are some key ways to tune into the heart of God. In soul care, we, by the Spirit, first of all, listen in to the state of our soul. I think this is really hard for us to do, especially in a noisy culture. But it's an imperative thing, and it's a process, a foundational process that we learn to listen in and accept the state of our soul as it is, to deal with the reality of where we're at in order to receive the care that we need. Next one is to awaken or enliven our soul to participate in the fullness of life in Christ. So this is much needed training not to numb out or dismiss the nudges of the Holy Spirit. The world is full of distractions, as I said, and that would lull us to sleep. And I don't know if you've read the Narnia Chronicles, The Silver Chair. If you remember the story of the Green Witch who poisons or tries to lull the heroes, the children heroes, in Puddleglum. I'm hoping some of you have read this, because I can't tell you the whole story. Read it if you haven't. With this poison that she throws in the fire, and it starts to lull the children, and they forget that there's maybe even a sun in the sky, because she's lulling them with beautiful music, and she's telling them a story, which is a lie about the reality they're in. And Puddleglum saves the day. So go read the story. Anyway, I went down that track, but it reminds me of that kind of sometimes in our culture, that we're seeing things on social media. We are receiving media images all the time, everywhere we go, and what is the effect on us? Are we seeing reality for what it is? Or are we being lulled to sleep? Next one is condition our soul to love God and live out his love. This is like strength training, learning to recognize our motivations and holding them under the light of God's love for ourselves and for others. And then teaching our soul to rest in him. And this is prioritizing rest above productivity. I know this is very difficult for us, especially in Toronto. The Sabbath above the rest of the week, turning our troubles over to him, letting him lead and direct us. How do I know I need soul care? We never set out to neglect our souls, do we? We never do. But this verse from Matthew 11:28 might apply to you. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. What a promise that is. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound so appealing? What an invitation that is for us. So now that I've completed a basic apologetic on soul care, shall we do some listening to our souls? Are you ready for that this morning? Our souls are often buried or placed on the back burner. It's important we learn how to listen. So I want to direct you in a little exercise this morning where we quiet ourselves before God and ask him to reveal where our soul needs attending. This is a vulnerable exercise. I'm going to give you a little help because it can be vague trying to listen in. So I'm going to give you a little help with prompting questions. And I want you to pay attention to any that apply to you. They're not all going to apply to you, but one or two or maybe a few will apply to you. I don't want you to think overly deeply about this. A listening exercise that actually engages your emotion, I want you to do it with compassion for yourself. I don't want you to feel judged by the exercise. I don't want you to beat yourself up about anything that I'm about to say. This is just looking at our soul in the state that it is with compassion, trusting that the Lord loves you and that he reveals things to you so that he can change us, so that he can give us rest, joy, and purpose. True rest, true joy, true purpose, true hope is only if we're dealing with the reality of where we are. So not all, as I said, not all will fit your situation, so pay attention to what does and be honest with yourself. So first, let's just take some deep breaths. Let our tense muscles off the hook, whatever those are in your body. Take a few deep breaths. I'm going to ask the questions. Do you sigh a lot? Has someone pointed out to you that you're sighing a lot? Do you feel like you're letting people down? Do you think you don't deserve good things? Do you think rest is for the weak or for the lazy? Do you resent those who rest while you work? Do you think there won't be enough or things will fall apart if you don't keep producing or leading? Are you afraid to lose your momentum? Do you think it's all up to you? If someone asks you how you are really, does it take you by surprise? Do you find it hard to come up with an honest answer? Are you putting off what you know you need to do, healing that wound, forgiving that person? When you do have time, are you using it to watch TV, movies, scrolling endlessly on social media? Or perhaps you're turning to porn or drinking or binge eating to numb out? Are you hoping nobody notices when you sneak an extra drink or cookie or Halloween candy? When you drive, are you angry, getting upset with the idiots on the road? I'm sorry, we're in Toronto. I think there's special grace for us here, but still, are you angry when you're driving? Do you hate the idea of being alone with your thoughts? Are you self-critical, beating yourself up when you do something wrong? Or do you push yourself to get it right? Do your feelings get hurt easily? Are you offended easily? Are you critical of others? Do you have a lack of empathy when people share their needs? Do you check out when others are trying to share what's on their heart? Do you feel the need, either internally or externally, to one-up someone? My needs are greater than yours, my pain more severe. Are you isolating yourself from others? I could go on, but I won't. I hope there is something in there that provoked your soul. And this is not a soul at rest. This is a soul that needs care. Weariness, anger, resentment, isolation, fear, despair are among the signs that you need soul care. So how do I get soul care? I need it. Remember that soul care is about realigning ourselves with God's love. That beautiful, freeing, uplifting place, the place of refuge, the place of acceptance, the place where your truest self is welcome. There is a handout. I don't know if it got handed out. No? For later? Okay, so you will get this handout. Which has some of those symptoms that I read out. And on the other side are resources for soul care. But I just want to talk about it for just a second more or two. Soul care is best done in community. So pastors, mentors, iron friends, as I like to call them, as iron sharpens iron, or spiritual friends, can help you notice the state of your soul and help direct you to Jesus. That means risking connection to others in order to be at our soul's healthiest. But the other important thing to note is that the soul at its healthiest, let's go back to that first point, is when it is surrendered. And that's one of the reasons we need to be with people. Isolation is protective and surrendered is open and receiving what others can give us. So not to say that silence and solitude is not an important part of this, it's both, okay? So we're in community and then we're also practicing silence and solitude. So I don't mean isolation when I say that, but developing our own spiritual practices so we can pay attention to the inner person. So I'm just gonna list a few and they're also gonna be on your handout. Journaling is one way to process what's going on inside you. And some of us find that hard because we think it's more like a diary where, oh, if I don't do it every day, or if I miss a day, do I have to go back and recap? And I've actually instructed some of our young parents to start with an emoji on a piece of paper that you're feeling that day, some way to connect with who you are. And journaling can also be journaling using your phone, taking a picture of things. Spiritual direction, sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing here. I'm reading the handout. Spiritual direction is important. Meditating on scripture. So I was taught very strictly how to study scripture, and then I learned a ton of different ways to interact with it in a way that suited who I am. And one of those ways is slow reading or writing out scripture. I actually gave myself permission not to read the Bible in a year. And I gave myself permission not, you know, to actually just meditate on the word and pray through reading scripture. There's things like Lectio Divina, if you've ever done that, and it's reading the same passage a few times through and just sensing the words that come out to you. Walking in nature is a beautiful thing to do, even if you don't know what else to do. Walking in the woods, I think every one of us would love that, and Toronto is beautiful for the parks. And Visio Divina actually is another thing. If you can see things through images, if you are somebody who doesn't love to read but looks at pictures to receive what the Lord is saying to you, And of course, music, worship songs, with or without words. I don't have enough time to share all these with you. I wish I could. Prayer is such a big topic, and there's so many ways to do it. But one thing that I've really appreciated is scripted prayers when I don't know what to pray, using the words of someone else to pray, or writing out my scriptures. I mean, my prayer is helpful. Practicing gratitude, of course. I think it was Danielle Strickland who said that if we want to live differently, then we must practice gratitude. And think about activities that bring you joy, not outcome-based activities, which I like to do. I like to have a little checkbox to check. None of that, just something that gets us in touch with our senses, gives us joy and pleasure to do. And if you are a sensory type, things like lighting a candle or taking a bath, those are soul care. As much as they're self-care, they're soul care, stopping the striving. I really recommend spiritual retreats. This is a whole buffet of options that I'm giving you this morning. You can find guided retreats online. You can seek them out. You can do one yourself. I really want to make sure that I add in as well that it's important to learn how to serve others as part of soul care. It's a means of grace that we would know, love, and serve the poor. And so looking for opportunities to do that is very important part of soul care. So how do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, I do want to suggest that we have pastors here who can triage you, who can have a conversation and see where you're at and listen to who you are with you and what the Lord is saying to you. And as I said, those mentors are friends, and of course, I'm happy to have a conversation as well. Talking it through, praying it through, and finding resources for your journey so that you can connect to God, your deepest, truest self, and find rest in Him. So I want to leave you this one thing is to remember the beauty of soul care is that you are not doing it alone. There is someone who cares about your soul even more than you do. And I hope you heard that in my story. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn, and then I remembered that Jesus can save me, and Jesus can save you. By His wounds, you have been healed. This is Jesus Christ who made a way for us by giving up His life in order to save ours. He can save you. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care for us in ways that we can't even begin to fathom, but you give us a glimpse of your love, and you are seeking after us. You are pursuing us even now. So I pray that each one of us would make time to listen in, that we would open up ourselves to hear from you in the ways that you are reaching out to us. So, Lord, help us on this journey. We give ourselves to you. In your name I pray. Amen.